Thank you. Thank you for the invitation to be here. It is still an odd thing to get up early in the morning and drive to Camrose, not from Camrose. And the sky over Hay Lakes just before sunrise was amazing this morning. So Janice has given you more than enough to talk about in the breakout session, and I'm not sure how much more I can add to that, but maybe I can do a little bit of bridge-building work with some propositions. Proposition one. Now, I don't know if I want to list them. There might be three or four. I can't figure out how many I've got. I am a fourth or maybe fifth generation settler in North America. My ancestors are buried in Oklahoma, where they lived in the checkerboards next to the Cheyenne people who had also been displaced there, and in Nebraska, and especially in Saskatchewan. My great-grandmother Judith, a widow, took one of the first homesteads in the Northwest, and her gravestone is still one of the tallest in the country cemetery at Eigenheim, where my father and my grandparents and almost all of my great-grandparents are buried. It is sacred ground for me. I know that from my own traditions. All of it is sacred because it is a place where much was sacrificed. The homesteads, the tree lines of those places, I have seen all of them. I have been to all those cemeteries in all of those parts of North America. They tell me who I am. They tell me about, or they bring me to places invested with names that, if you said them in German, would sound holy. Because we were brought up to think that German and not Cree was God's language. They referred to places of hope, fields of peace, level fields, forest homes, deep ground, the place names of settlement. My ancestors in this part of the world on Treaty 6 land were settled on the isolating checkerboard of the survey grid. Not the old rural villages that clustered them together, but the isolated quarter section by quarter section settlements. But they made places. They had known what it was to be dispossessed. They had known what it was to be people on the move. Jacqueline Baker, very good prairie writer, writes in a book called The Horseman's Graves, about, I think, set in southwestern Saskatchewan, that the newcomers to this part of the world were sometimes so burdened with the ghosts of other countries that they didn't pay enough attention or notice the ghosts or the stories in the land already. My ancestors settled 16 miles south of Carleton. Have to talk about miles because the survey grid laid out the country that way. And they were in earshot of the cannons that in 1897 flushed out Almighty Voice from his poplar bluff on the other side of the South Saskatchewan River. One person who did not make that trip was my great-great-grandfather Jacob Epp, who was buried in Russia, a Mennonite farmer, a minister, who in the spring would say a prayer to Mother Earth after planting. It was in his tradition to do so. One thing I learned, read from a Navajo elder, was that you don't defecate in the nest of your ancestors. Actually, he put it more bluntly, but this is a chapel, and that's as close as I'm going to get. Secondly, when I say we are all treaty people, as I have, and it's in print, it's a phrase I first learned from a student, Cree Ojibwe student in this place, up in one of those classrooms called G20 something. When I say that we are all treaty people, those of us who live in 1876 at Fort Pitt, in 1877 at Fort Carlton and 77 in Fort Pitt, established as Treaty 6. I mean at least that we are here by virtue of a negotiated sharing. At a minimum. I will want that phrase to mean more than that. I will want it to mean a sense of memory and obligation and relationship way, way, way more than a real estate deal. Though it's hard to make that argument, check out the Canadian government's online primer for new Canadians. It's an abomination. It cannot bring itself to use the word treaty. You want to know why it's so hard for people to imagine that they're treaty people? Living here by virtue of a negotiated sharing, it's because no one has ever been told on entering this country that they are. And in the latest version, there is a great deal of attention paid to the War of 1812. Why is that a surprise? And our Britishness. There is nothing in that primer that can bring itself to use the word treaty. Interesting. I have said, sometimes this gets me into trouble, but remember the part about not defecating in the nest of my ancestors, that for successive generations, those of us who are settler people have been allowed to nurture the mythology that there was no one here when we came, and that what there is, we made for ourselves. This is a very, very powerful mythology, and it speaks to all of the sacrifice that we know from our family stories. But the idea that there was no one here when we came, that the land had been safely sequestered for us, that this was terra nullius, is a dangerous, dangerous mythology. Powerful as it is. Being treaty people is thinking about terms of coexistence. I like the language that you used. Third proposition for me, maybe what makes all of this even more difficult, more complicated, is that I am fascinated by and have spent some time unearthing what I call an agrarian tradition in Western Canada. It's been thought that agrarian settlers and Aboriginal people were the greatest of antagonists. They were rivals for the land who could not possibly live together. Of course, this part of the world was settled by the great initiative of the national government. It was the national policy in the late 19th century to produce grain for export. That was the national policy, and to that end, great things were done. Railroads were built. Land was surveyed. Treaties were made. And on and on. But in all of that, agrarian settler people did not simply find themselves and settle for the world that had been laid out for them in survey grids. They made much more of it. They had a very practical understanding of a social economy. Sometime you can check out my belt. I wore it today. It's an Alberta wheat pool elevator on this belt. It's hard to find, just like it's hard to find an Alberta wheat pool elevator. Because land was more than the site of commodity production. Land was where agrarian peoples invested identity. They derived from it a sense of agency, which was why in the 1930s security of tenure was such an issue, as the banks were forcing that issue. And it was why the ecological disaster of the early 1930s was a crisis for agrarian leaders. If you're interested, I'll send you the link to an amazing little gem of an essay, which was, first of all, a radio broadcast by the president of the Manitoba Wheat Pool back in the 30s when the CBC sponsored a series called Wheat Pools on the Air. Proof that this was a different time entirely. And in the middle of the Dust Bowl, that piece was an amazing first self-doubt about what it is we were doing here, what our responsibilities to the land were. Have we been producing too much and in the wrong way? And what does it mean to take responsibility for the land, not just for one generation, but for many? Amazing. Responsibility of the land, not responsibility to Aboriginal neighbors. One out of those two. Although there is a long history of First Nations agriculture, Aboriginal agriculture. The first modern farmers in this region were Métis, which is why those river lots are where they are. In First Nations communities, there was a too successful history of agricultural adaptation, which is why the Canadian government instituted a pass system to say you can't sell your livestock or your grain off reserve unless we give you a permit every time. There wasn't enough grain handling infrastructure to handle all of that success. That's another story. The United Farmers of Alberta in the 20s, when it was governing this province and was a social movement unlike no other, printed materials in Cree, assuming that Cree could be members. Then the 30s hit and bad things happened. But I don't think it's so preposterous to put together agrarian and Aboriginal peoples. It sounds preposterous. Aren't they supposed to be natural rivals for land?